All right, good morning, everybody. It is always a pleasure to gather with you to praise the Lord together. So today, we're going to turn again to John 14 and consider the third of three gospel promises that are in this section. So go ahead and open up to John 14 if you have a Bible with you or near you. And just a reminder, the background of what's happening in this section of Scripture is that John is describing for us the Last Supper, that last Passover meal that Jesus shared with his disciples before he was arrested. And there's a lot of details that John in his gospel shares with us. At this point in the meal, Jesus has told his disciples that he's leaving them. And of course, they're upset about that, right? They've been following Jesus, serving Jesus, living alongside Jesus all this time, and now he's going away, and he says that they can't come with him. And he's responding to their concerns, and he's reassuring him. And in his reassurance, there are three major gospel promises that I see in what he says to them. We've covered the first two. If you haven't been here, if you haven't heard these, the first promise was the promise of an eternal home. John 14, 1 and 2, Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you?" And so we talked about this promise that there is an eternal home for those who put their faith in Jesus. The second promise, last week we talked about the promise of great works. Jesus says, "Believe in me when I say that I am in my Father, and my Father's in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. And verily, truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do works that I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father." And we talked about this opportunity, this promise that Jesus has given us, that he will work in and through us in ways even greater than what we saw in the Bible. That he includes us in his work in this world. And what an incredible gift that is. And Jesus at the end of this says, "Ask anything in my name and I will give it to you." And we talked about the fact that that promise is given in the context of those great works. Anything that you ask Jesus to do through you for his glory and his good in this world, he will do through you. That's the promise of great works. And those messages, of course, are available online if you want to catch up or review those. Today we look at the final promise, the promise of presence. We're going to start in John 14, verse 14, overlapping a little bit with where we left off. And so let's read John 14 through 17. Make sure I'm in the right spot here myself, 12. So Jesus says, "If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." And so here we see part of this promise, the promise of sending the Holy Spirit. Jesus has said says it here, and he says it in other places, that if I go away, I can send the Spirit to be with you. He refers to the Spirit as a helper. In another translation, he's called an advocate. An advocate is somebody who speaks on your behalf. Right? The Holy Spirit works on our behalf. He is our helper. He is our guide. He is our teacher. And part of the promise is that he will be with you forever. That is an incredible promise, that God will send his Spirit to be with you forever. But that alone isn't the full promise of presence that I see here. Let's continue reading in verse 18. Jesus says, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you." So Jesus tells his disciples here that he's not going to leave them as orphans. He's not going away forever. He will return. He will come to them. They will see him. And we know that this happens 3 days after his death. that he came and physically showed himself to his disciples and spent time with them. But he also makes this promise to believers today that we will know him, that we may not physically see him, although I have had testimonies of people who have seen physical presence of God somehow in their lives. We know him. We know he's present because he is near us. So Jesus himself will come to be with us. And I always refer back to Matthew 28, the Great Commission, where Jesus gives us that command to go and make disciples. He ends that with saying, "And know that I will be with you to the end of the age." So part of this promise is that Jesus himself will be with us as well. And then we continue on in verse 22. Where Judas, the betrayer, Judas Iscariot, or no, I'm not reading that right. Judas, not Iscariot, not the betrayer, said to him, "Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world?" And Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come in and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me and does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." And I include that part to point out that now here Jesus is referring to the Father. And he says, the Father will love you, and we will make our home with you. So this promise of presence includes the Father as well. Jesus wraps all this up in verse 25. He says, These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring you remembrance of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. He reassures him in the end to not be troubled. Yes, he is going away. Yes, he will be leaving him alone, but not for long. The Holy Spirit will come to be with him, with them. Jesus will return to them, and the Father will come and make his home with them. In every possible way, Jesus is promising that God will be present with those who love Jesus. Embedded in these words of comfort that Jesus says at the end is this promise of presence. They don't need to worry about Jesus going away because it won't be forever. The leaving is a necessary part of making himself being available even more than he was before. Even more than he's capable of doing in his physical form in the earth. He can provide more help, more support, and more presence than what they've ever experienced up to that point. He's told them that he will not leave them as orphans. And that is the source of hope that they can have, that their hearts won't be troubled, that they don't need to be afraid. Now, this promise was especially important to those disciples that Jesus was speaking to that day. I mean, you can almost imagine the fear in their hearts. They know there's persecution coming. They know that there's hatred toward Jesus, that his followers will be targeted next. They have been living with him. They've been experiencing life with him, and yet here he is going away. What are they going to do now? So it was important for them to know that Jesus was coming back. But it's also important for us today to know that God is with us. This world is full of trouble. There are sources of fear all around us. Trouble will come. People will leave us and disappoint us. We will experience fear. We'll experience loneliness. We'll experience hardship of all kinds. But we can still find hope and security and relief from the fears that rise up because of the promise of God's presence in our lives. No matter what you go through in this life, you can know that you are not alone. Jesus says that anyone who loves him will experience God's presence. Verse 23 here, Jesus says, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and I will come to them and make our home with them." This is a promise for anyone who loves Jesus. Now, Jesus does not say here, notice, that anyone who loves me must obey my teachings. It's not a command. It's not a condition that you must follow in order to gain his love and his presence. But loving Jesus and obeying him do go hand in hand. So those who love him will obey his teaching. It means one who loves Jesus with all their heart and their mind and their soul and their strength will do naturally what Jesus asks them to do. Love compels us to want to obey Jesus. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. Let's just want to make sure we understand. It's not a condition. It's just a description of what comes with loving Jesus. And beyond that piece about obeying his teachings is that incredible promise. The Father will love them. And he will come to them, and we will make our home with him. The promise is that God, in all his presence, in all his being, will be with us and make our home with us. If you know Jesus, if you have turned to him in faith, and you have come to love Jesus, you can know for certain that God is with you in every possible way that he can. You see in this that this idea of Trinity that we talk about in this church, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all one, right? And there's been many people throughout the years that says, well, that's not, the Bible doesn't say anything about Trinity, or doesn't have the word Trinity at least. But that's just a concept we've come up to explain how Jesus describes God, right? He describes him here, and he describes them in interchangeable ways. Jesus is the Son of God. He came as the physical presence of the unseen God. And he speaks of the Father. He talks about submitting to the Father, doing the Father's will. Even here, he says that what he's telling disciples is not his own words, but the Father's words. There's a distinction there, and yet he also goes to great length to say, we are one. If you know the Father, you know me. If you know me, you know the Father. And the same is true with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit has a distinct role of being our helper, our advocate. And yet to know Jesus is to know the Spirit as well. And I just emphasize that just to point out, it's fascinating and thrilling to think about the fact that God in all his presence is with us. Father, Son, and Spirit. It's not just one aspect of God that's there with us. He will make his home with every believer. What a fascinating promise that is. We read all throughout the Old Testament times where the Spirit entered individuals for certain acts that they fulfilled for God. God gave them a supernatural presence, a supernatural ability for something. Today, every believer can experience that their entire life. God is with you all the time, in every way, forever. What an amazing and incredible promise that is. God is not just in the world. He is in you. And he is with you all the time. Truly knowing something is like this is something we have to work at. I can tell you that personally, I've read about this promise. I've had knowledge about this promise for many, many years. But I haven't always known it in the depths of my heart and soul. There have been many times where I've experienced stress and anxiety, doubt and worry in life, and I've cried out to God, where are you? Lord, don't you care about me? Asking him to provide for me, to be present with me, to show himself, to take care of me, and I've tried to find help and support on my own when I feel like God's not coming through. It has taken intentional effort me as I go back to God's word and I read about his presence to understand that I don't have to ask for that. I don't have to beg for it. God's already here. He has promised it. The problem that I'm having is believing it and seeing it. And I've had to go through intentional effort to remind myself, no, God is with me. He is present. He is available. He is going before me. And it changes my prayers in those moments when I remember that, to just thank him and ask him to help open my eyes and experience it. This is something I think it's important for all of us to understand. If you're not seeing God's presence, know, have the comfort of knowing he is there. He is present. He has promised it, and he will be there forever. Jesus came to give his life as payment for sin, even before we understood it, even before we knew we needed forgiveness. He loved us before we ever knew him. He came and offered his life, showed himself to us, and asked us to believe in him. Many, most of us here, I think all of us here, have come to realize that and accept that truth of who he is and embrace it. We've received his forgiveness and his grace. And receiving that comes with the fulfillment of this promise of God's presence. He has come into your life and made his home with you. He will be with you forever. He's watching over your life. He is leading you. He's teaching you. He's protecting and providing for you in every way that he can. So if you love Jesus, you can know that God is with you. He has made his home with you. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to wait for it. You don't need him to fill you with any other thing. He has already filled your life. And so often, what leads us into sinful practices is that we feel empty. We feel like we're missing something, and we start seeking that fulfillment from what the world offers without understanding that God has already filled what we need. He will provide those things. That's what his presence does for us. Now, God sometimes does provide things, tangible ways to know of his presence, to fulfill our needs. He gives us people who love us and care for us. He gives us community like the church that's part of God's fulfillment to be connected with one another. Sometimes he provides us with tangible things to give us what we need. Countless stories of God coming through when people had a financial or material need of God providing through somebody else. But those things are not the only way that God's providing. Those things are on top of what he's already given us. Right? Those are the bonus on top of his presence. His presence is already there, filling every aspect of our lives. So you can see and know God in your life. And Jesus says in verse 21, "Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them." So the part of this promise is not just that we have to blindly believe that Jesus is present, but he will show himself to us. He will make himself apparent. He will show us how he is there with us. We only need eyes to see this truth and the faith to believe in it. So Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." That's his reassurance to us. We don't have to be afraid in this world. I've already had conversations this morning about troubled times in our country, right? Things that are coming that look kind of scary and unstable. And this is the truth. This has been the truth for every human being for thousands of years. We don't have to be troubled by those things because we know that God is with us. So with that promise in mind, I wanted to just turn this over to you for a little bit now and talk about how does this affect you? What is the promise of God's presence in your life? Whether you've known this and you've reflected on it, or maybe you've heard something even new this morning that affects you. What are the thoughts on your mind as you think about the promise of God's presence in your life? Yeah. Yeah, God is there even when we mess up.
That sounds like a Facebook meeting. God is already bigger than my stupidity.
Yes. Yes. God has already figured in our stupidity in what he has planned for us. Yes. Yeah. Yes, we still have security in the crazy world. I can't tell you how many times I start thinking about all the things that are happening in the world and all the things that could go wrong, And then I get to the point where it sounds like the world is just about to fall apart. And then you say, but God still is in control and God is still with us. Yes, we can walk confidently in this crazy world. Yes. All the different layers that are part of the onion and understanding that God is at the core of that. Yeah, I love that. I just want to come back to what you just said, Wendy. We can have security, walk confidently through the craziness in the world with hope, with strength, with confidence. And what a gift that is to the rest of the world to see. There are countless people around us who don't have that kind of security. And that often can explain the kind of crazy things they're doing with their lives. They don't have anything else to hold on to. They're grasping for something. They don't know the security that can come from knowing that God is with them. And just showing that confidence in your life, showing how you handle adversity through faith, is an incredible testimony to those around you. Yeah. Right, yeah. If we keep our focus on him. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, Paul says. When we do that, the troubles fade away. Yeah. Anything else? Right.
And then I started thinking, oh, so all this politics and stuff like that going on, in spite of that, all the difficulties, if we were in Christ, in all of that worldly stuff.
Yeah. We are part of it, yeah. Yes. I think it sounds to me like you're hitting on one of the important parts of being the church, right? God has given us this worldwide gift of the church, of fellow believers in Christ, because every one of us struggles with our faith in some way or another, and often in different ways. What I struggle with is different than what you struggle with, right? And we have to respect that and understand that about each other. And every one of us is at risk of just forgetting, losing sight of Jesus, forgetting this promise, forgetting his presence. And yet when we come together in the fellowship that he's given us, we can strengthen one another. One of the values of getting together like this physically is to be able to encourage one another, to remind one another of these promises and these truths, and help build up one another's faith again and again. And as we do that, we are engaging in this kingdom of God that he has invited us into. It is a world within the world that we exist in, that's apart from this world, because we have this promise and we have this faith that we help one another with. It's part of God's provision, is this gift of one another. Yeah. I see a couple of hands. Sandy. Yeah, we can radiate the presence of God. Yeah. Mariah. Right? Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's so much influence from the world that we may not even be aware of, right? The Bible speaks about these things. Not only is there influence from other people, the cultures that we live in, those things that pull on us, we get caught up in the waves of culture and the ideas of culture. There are powers and principalities. There are spiritual forces working on us, pulling us away. We all are succumbed to those. None of us is Jesus himself, right? We don't have we are not God, and we have our weaknesses, and we are pulled away. And the more isolated we are, the easier it is to be influenced by those things. And yeah, I've had those moments too, of like, I could just stay in this moment where I know that Jesus is my Lord and he has given his life for me. I would have nothing to fear ever. There's no reason for me to ever not have joy. And yet, the other stuff creeps in. Okay. Right. Absolutely. That's powerful. Powerful part of God's presence, that he is present with all of us together. Right? If you ever, you just be amazed about this gift of God's presence, go through the New Testament especially and look for all the togethers. Look for all the ways together comes up. So much in there about how this life is with God and with one another, and it's all about combining us together as one in Christ, right? Up and down, side to side, like Sandy said, yep, radiating out. Yeah, it's a powerful promise. There's so many things, so much more we could say about this. I keep being reminded of Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Somebody like to look that up and read it for us? It speaks directly to all this. Or if you haven't memorized, it's a popular, hey, you know what? I don't know how many of you I thought about this. It used to be very, very talked about a lot, scripture memorization. Have you noticed how it's not really talked about a lot in culture anymore? It's so important to get God's word in your heart, though. Whenever I think of it, I want to remind us, keep memorizing scripture. Keep those powerful scriptures in your heart. Oh, yeah. You're right. Yes. Yeah. Remember the intent of the words. That's an important point. I think you're right. We get caught up in the routine of it. I don't know how many people we've worked with. We're like, okay, memorize the scripture, and then when they recite it back, it's like, I got it. Done. Checked it off. Like, slow down. What did you just say? Why? What does that mean? Right? And that's why I emphasize those scriptures that mean a lot to you, that speak directly to you, try to commit those to memory. Keep them in your heart. Did somebody want to share? Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Mariah, what do you have? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Satan himself trying to use scripture against Jesus, right? Scripture can be used in negative ways, and the more we have knowledge of it, the more strong we can be. I've heard stories, too, of people being in prison for many, many years, and scripture in their hearts and minds kept them focused on the Lord. Who's got Hebrews 10, 24 and 25? Okay, Wendy, do you want to read it up here so we have it on the recording? Just so you know, I'm repeating a lot of what you guys say to make sure we get it into the recording. Maybe something for us to work on as we do our discussions. How do we get these? I don't know.
Hebrews 10:24 in the NIV says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." All the more.
So the more crazy the world gets, the more important it is for us to come together and encourage one another. And that scripture encapsulates so much of the value of being a church and coming together as a church, right? There's so much that has been said throughout the world about why you should come to church, right? It's not just for the sake of our church growing and being able to do whatever we want. It's about coming together in God's presence, experiencing that presence together. Any other final thoughts before I wrap things up? That's huge, to be reassured that you're not alone, right? And sometimes we are physically alone for the moment, but the reality of God's presence is so important in those moments, right? It's not just something we imagine. It's not just something we tell ourselves. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are with you all the time. Right? We tell our treehouse kids, one of our treehouse truths is, I am not alone. I'm never alone. That's what it is. And that is rooted in this promise. They may not know it yet, but the reason they're never alone is because God is always with them. He's always available. It's important to know this promise that you are never alone. If you know Jesus, you can know that you have God with you always. It's important for us as Christians, as people to know who know God's presence and know what the difference is, to share that gift with others as well, to practice the gift of presence for other people. When I think about that, I think about some of the things that we've talked about here, encouraging one another. But I also think about just being available to people to listen to. It kind of goes back to what Becky said. It's not our place to judge the challenges that people are going through, but to really learn how to listen and let them just process things in our presence with a loving, grace-filled presence. I probably have shared this before here, but it just fits with a discussion I was having with a young man who was having some trouble and honestly thinking that he didn't belong in this world anymore. He had started having some thoughts about taking his life, and I initially thought, oh no, I have to say the right things to try to help him hang on and feel like he's important. But every time I brought something up, like he already knew it. He's like, oh yeah, I already know that. And it wasn't affecting him at all. And it wasn't until I just relaxed and just listened to him. And we talked about things like fishing and bike riding and just the things that he enjoyed and just let him talk and be a grace-filled presence in his life that he was able to relax and able to just find joy in that moment and understand there is reason to continue living. We don't have to have all the answers. We don't have to tell people all the right things. Sometimes the best gift we can give people is just to be present, to be available. And that's what God is for us in so many ways. He's just available to us. Let's practice that gift of presence with others as well. Thank you for all your contributions, your thoughts here. You such a valuable gift that God has given. Thank you for encouraging one another. Let's continue to encourage one another today after our worship time during our meal. Let's enjoy that meal together. And enjoy God's presence among us. Let me pray for us, and we'll close with our final song, and then we'll head on downstairs and continue our fellowship. Lord, I thank you that you are here, and we can know that you are here. Each and every one of us has this wonderful gift of your presence. And I love that you have promised to be with us forever. There is nothing that can stop you from being available to us, Lord. And I pray that you would just deepen the knowledge of that in every one of our hearts and minds. Let us know this for certain, that we can face the things of this world with faith in you, with knowledge of your presence. And may we as a church continue to be an encouragement and an extension of your presence to one another and to all those we interact with in this world. We thank you, Lord, today. In Jesus' name, amen.